Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the senior minister and spiritual director here at the center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. So how many times have we heard, or perhaps even said, it's never been done before, many have tried and failed, it just can't happen, right? Or it's always been this way, it's never going to change. Some things never change. No one in my family has gone to college before. We don't even know how to apply. But then there are those people who somehow have the fortitude to buck the trend. Take the young man growing up in a small town in Indiana on the wrong side of the tracks, as they say. And his high school guidance counselor asked him, why are you taking all those math and science classes? You know you're just going to end up working in the factory like your father and your grandfather. That young man would go on to become a nuclear engineer and a submarine commander. Or the study done in the 1960s and 70s, long time ago, that found that only white children and almost exclusively boys, but no black or brown children said, I want to grow up to be president of the United States. But as we learned in 2008, there must have been at least one little black boy who had that dream and bucked the trend. And in 2020, after the election of Biden and Harris, I'll never forget the excitement of a little young biracial girl who asked her parents, did the girl win? Yes, she did. And she could barely contain herself when she said, oh, Mommy, the vice president looks like me. I hope that little girl knows that for her, the sky is the limit, and in that sky, there is no glass ceiling. Past is not precedent. We are not bound to always live what has happened before. If past were precedent, we'd still be walking everywhere. There'd be no wheeled vehicles. We would not have electricity. We would not have constitutional democracies. Education would still be reserved just for a few. If past were precedent, there would be no addiction recovery. You are what you have been. There would be no growth. You are your past mistakes. There would be no upward mobility. You are what your family has always been. But principle is not bound by precedent. Life does not demand that we always live in accordance with what has been. Past is present. We carry it with us every day. It is here with us. It lives on in our memories and our stories. It lives on in our individual and family and collective histories that help explain how we got here, right? It lives on in those patterns that we've developed that we fall into whenever we're in a similar situation. Many of our fears came from past experiences. It lives on in those societal structures that have a lot to do with the opportunities we're given, the quality of our schools, the state of our economy. The past lives on in many ways in the beliefs we carry within us. many of which are handed down by family, our schooling, our society, our religious upbringing. Some of those beliefs we develop on our own based on our feelings after certain experiences, and we form certain beliefs about what we can expect out of life. So yeah, past is present. And it can be very helpful. The Peruvian shaman Jorge Luis Delgado is not a fan of this idea that the past is behind us where we can't see it. He's like, no, the past is right here in front of us because we can see it, we can examine it, we can learn from it. This is where the past is. We need to take a look at it. Because, of course, as we know, as we've been taught over and over, history does repeat itself if we don't learn from it. This is true in our lives, and this is true in our societies. And I'm not talking about dwelling in the past. I'm not talking about those, and I've been guilty of this. Maybe some of you have, too, of retelling the same old story to the point where our family and friends are like, oh, my God, here she goes again. That's just living in the past or reliving the past. That's just bringing the pain of the past into the present without trying to do anything about it. I'm talking about what our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote. We are all human, and we have all made mistakes. The starting point for creating a better life for ourselves is to deliberately free our minds from the mistakes of yesterday and feel that they need no longer be held against us. They need no longer be a liability. Too often our minds are so burdened because of the mistakes we have made that we do not take time to forgive ourselves and others and to start over again. And so it is wise to occasionally review the past and try to find out just what we have been thinking and doing to create this burden in our minds. Now let me take a moment to stop anybody who's starting to go down that science of mind guilt trip about what the heck is wrong with your thinking that got you where you are today. That's not what I'm talking about. Because science of mind guilt is just as guilty, is just as useless as Jewish guilt and Catholic guilt, which is what my parents tried to raise me with. It's all useless. What I'm talking about is an honest assessment of our past in a way that can help us correct course. Not assigning blame, but taking responsibility. The kind of honest assessment of our past that helps us learn, what mistakes have I made? Where have I gotten stuck in my story? Where have I let others dictate my life? Where do I need to do some forgiveness work? And perhaps most importantly, where am I out of alignment with principle? With truth about myself and about others. That's the kind of assessment I'm talking about. Because without the kind of honest assessment, we all know where this goes, right? The same thinking ends up with the same mess. We end up in the same place over and over. How many of us know that person that has become the parent they despise because of unforgiveness? Which results in past being precedent on a generational level until someone says, enough already. We need to look at our past and our pain and do some healing. How many of us know people, and perhaps we need only look in the mirror, that has had the same failed relationship 20 times with different people with the same name and the same mistake. Or wait, I said that wrong. 20 people with different names. That's what I meant to say. Okay, I just messed up that one. We have the same relationship over and over, and we keep making the same mistakes until we realize, I am the common denominator here. I should probably take a look at this. Learn where I've been going wrong all these 20 failed relationships, and set a new intention. Create a new thought pattern for the next time. We do this individually, and we do this in the collective, or we can do it in the collective, this honest assessment of looking at the good, bad, and the ugly, right? 5 years ago, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, I had hopes that this country was going to do that. And many of us did. Many of us set the intention. More and more white people were willing to face the honest truth about our past and how it still impacts people today. Some people are trying to stop that. But we know that this is not principle, so it will not stand. We will keep making the same mistakes until we come in alignment with principle. You know, earlier in our remembrance ritual, we named the victims of the mass murder in Buffalo, New York in May of 2022. On the day that happened, I was at a retreat for ministerial students. And a friend of mine was there, a black woman, and we had set a date to go walking early the next morning. So I meet her early in the morning, and I say, "Did you see the news?" Instantly, out of her mouth, she said, "Who's killing my people now?" And that makes me tremble. That black and brown people live with that stress every day. That news could have been so many different things, but the first thing she thought of was, "Who's killing my people now?" I pray for the day when we're honest enough and correct course enough that our black and brown families and friends and community members no longer have to live with that stress, where that's no longer their first reaction to, "Did you see the news today?" Past need not be precedent, but it's up to us. It doesn't have to be precedent in our lives or in our society. We can choose to change our thinking. We can choose to break the old mold and make a new mold. We can choose to do this. And there's evidence everywhere for it. You know, the evolutionary process that created us has not ended. It still goes on. It's still creating new species. There are still new galaxies being born. The Mother Earth herself, on a daily basis, is morphing and changing and creating anew new mountains and valleys and rivers and deserts and forests. This is the way of creation, that we are not bound by precedent. We can always make anew. Each and every human being, each and every one of us, is not bound by the precedent of our parents. Thank God I am not a carbon copy of my parents, as much as I love and honor them, right? And it astounds me, the creatives amongst us, the artists and the musicians and the composers and the writers, who, despite thousands of years of humans creating art, they can still create new art. I don't know how y'all do it, but I'm grateful that you know how to do it, right? Each generation, every parent wants their past to not be precedent for their children. What parent doesn't want their children to have it better than they had it? Right? It's just the natural way. So we can change our thinking. We can change our attitudes. We can change our way of approaching the world and create new lives for ourselves. You know who are some of the most brilliant and courageous examples of this are those in 12-step recovery programs. Talk about taking a courageous look at how you got to where you are. They do it daily. An honest assessment of their past actions and thoughts and beliefs about themselves and about other people and about their God. And they break that mold, they set the intention, they make the new mold with the support of other people. They create a new mold for a new way of being in the world, new relationships with themselves, with other people, and with their God. These people are living angels amongst us, living proof that past need not be precedent. We have access to unlimited potential. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Principle is not bound by precedent. There is no law in the universe that seeks to perpetuate old limitations. But there is a law which responds to our greater vision at the exact level of that vision." Principle is not bound by precedent. We are one with it. We teach that every Sunday. We just use different words to teach it. We teach that every Sunday. We are one with this unlimited potential. One way to help build this new mold for your life is to daily commune with that divine unlimited potential in what I call a felt prayer. You don't even have to use that many words for it. Just sit there and use your imagination and feel the new life. If you need to use words, you can say, "I am not bound by my past. I am not my past mistakes. I am not my family's past. I am not bound by precedent." And invite in the new. Invite in the new ideas and the new thoughts. And let yourself just feel it as already done and create that new mold. And if you're having trouble doing this, if this seems like it might be difficult, work with a practitioner. That's what our practitioners know how to do. They know you are not limited by your past. They know only your goodness and you're good. So work with a practitioner if this proves challenging for you. And I close with Marilyn Ferguson, who stated, "Your past is not your potential. In any hour, you can choose to liberate the future. Let's choose this hour to liberate our futures. Let's choose this hour to begin making new molds for our lives. Lives based in principle, which is never bound by precedent." Thank you. Let's pray.